Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another live edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of kittens, so god damn, I'm good. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, not only the psychic of the year, the gang to my yang, the side bitch of the year. His name is...
Here we go. Sean Black, back in the building once again. And how was Father's Day for you?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
How long did I get you to shut you up? Well, in all seriousness, though, I hope everybody actually did have a great Father's Day. Hopefully, you don't use that just that day to celebrate fathers out there, but at least it's that one day that you can legally buy cards and buy a bunch of stuff. But, you know, hopefully on that one day, hopefully people treated their fathers with a modicum of respect. At least the ones that deserve it anyway.
Well, I know why you did this. You're trying to test me. You're trying to push my button. I'm not going to fall for that trap. I know you. So, on that note, 347-989-8400. I can't even say the number now.
Good grief.
347.
Are you sober today?
989. Yeah, I'm sober. Come on.
Okay.
I did not drink enough last night, basically.
Oh.
But
okay.
Let's go on and piss some people off, like we always do every Monday night or every week, I should say. There's a lot to talk about, so let's get straight to it. Sean Black, as always, your man, your president. I guess no one bite the dust. Sal Huckabee announces Friday that she is leaving at the end of the month. So basically, Sean Black, with your president, are you surprised that Sal is next on the list to hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more?
Well, considering... One, not my president. I didn't vote for the guy. Number two, this is just par for the course for this administration. This seems like either through personal choice to avoid incoming danger or just for a better opportunity to stay away from the administration, another person, high-ranking person of interest, has left the Trump administration. Like you just said, the Sarah Huckabee Sanders is leaving at the end of the month. Potentially, from what I'm hearing, she may run for governor of Arkansas because that's where she's from. She has been with the Trump administration pretty much since just before he was voted in as president, as far as part of the campaigning team. And
no, did she join it after that guy left?
She took over for Sean Spicer when he went belly up, and then what was the other guy named? Anthony Scaramucci.
Yeah.
When he resigned after being on the job only 10 days, she took over, and she's been in place ever since. So I guess now, that's the craziest part about it, between her and Kellyanne Conway, pretty much everybody else
Pence,
has been a hodgepodge of, yeah.
He didn't fire Mike Pence yet for some reason. I don't know why, but hey.
Well, that's his vice president, and although I'm pretty sure he's probably looking into it at some point, who knows? Well, nobody knows what the rhyme or reason seems to be for the administration as far as going into who's going to stay in, who is there. I think the general consensus has been that she has probably the second hardest job within the administration, because whether she believes or not anything that comes from the president, she has to actually go out there and disseminate most of the news of the day from the president and all of the goings-on that she is privy to actually explain to the press. And I've noticed over the last month or so, she had made herself less and less available to the media, and she hadn't done a press conference in, I believe, almost 2 months. So,
well, let's be honest with ourselves. Being a press secretary for a man who basically, in some people's opinion, lies and all his drama is going on, it's hard to defend this person and try to make excuses. Yes, I'm talking from a left-wing side. Try to make excuses for someone. Like, you always try to defend me. You want to defend me. Your job is to defend me. It was very hard when I call you an idiot and other people an idiot. Why did Sean Black call you an idiot? Well, you know, Sean Black is the best in the world.
And not just to do it, but to also say it in a way that is convincing to the media so that they can believe what you're saying when you go out in front of the camera to actually explain your point and explain the news that goes out there. But a lot of people have criticized her because in a lot of instances, she comes across as very condescending when she talks to the media and talks to the press. And it's evidence that she's become, I'm not sure how close her and the president are, but during the press conference, he gave her a hug and a kiss as a good luck, and he seemed very upbeat and also very sad that she was leaving the administration, and then basically stumped for her to go run for governor of Arkansas. I don't know when the race is and who the candidates would be, but if she is politically inclined to go in that route, then she's definitely got a big endorsement in the president backing her up.
Hey, why not? But once again, I find it as a hard job to defend a quote-unquote a liar. It's like he said one thing, denied it, and he has to defend that. And like you said, you know, she's trying to play both parties, but she made the press looking at her like, either you're stupid or you really lying to our faces.
Overall. And that's a very difficult position to have, especially being as such, as we've seen the president who has a very short temper and likes things a certain way. He likes to have positive news, positive feedback brought back to him. And since he's always standoffish with the media and standoffish with the press, and only wants his narrative brought out in a positive light, the fact that she goes out and has to go to the media, go to the press, answer questions that the president probably will not answer or maybe isn't privy to be able to answer to the media, it's her job to actually go and talk to the press and answer those questions, maybe bring up the news of the day, things that are happening, and then put that spin on it that a lot of people looked at her as like, wow, she must really, really either she hates her job and she's good at it, or she really, really loves what she does.
Well, talking about press, as Sean and I discussed earlier over the phone, there was this huge interview on ABC News with Donald Trump, Sean's president, with news anchor.
Well, I don't know why you keep putting my name in front of that.
Because you always get back. This is for the Father's Day incident you tried to get me earlier. So this is a payback. But even a quote-unquote 30-minute interview, I'm sure it was hours of interview, was George Stephanopoulos from ABC News. And it is, like I told Sean, one of the most awkward, crazy interviews of a leader we may ever see. There have been other crazy interviews with Donald Trump, but this one was very bizarre, funny, and sad, and drama all rolled into one. Why is that?
The president falls into the mold of the personality type that basically runs his life like it is a reality show. Scripted, positive camera cuts, jump cuts, because we're all from the broadcasting background, so we know about jump cuts and editing and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of things that the president likes to have. And anything negative or anything that he finds is a show of weakness, he doesn't want anything to deal with. Case in point, during that interview, and this has been going on throughout the media on TV clips since they brought it up, was there was a point while he was talking to George Stephanopoulos about his, I believe his tax returns or his his financial statements that were there. He was looked like he was trying to try and talk about it, and then somebody had a coughing fit, finding out that it was a Mick Mulvaney who was in the vat coughing, and he kind of stopped the interview, kicked him out of the Oval Office, saying, look, if you're going to cough, get out of the room. I mean, literally, he came to a stop, kicked him out of the room, and then came back and said, okay, do you want to start this over from such and such and such? Now, one of two things you could try to interpret from that. Maybe he just had a coughing fit and was choking on a piece of maybe his own saliva, a piece of gum, whatever was the case. Or maybe he was coughing to try to get the president's attention to try to move off from that subject. In any event, we've seen that President Trump doesn't seem to have the right attention as far as getting the mindset together of knowing nuance with certain things. It's either, you know how you hear about elephants running off in the forest? There is no subtlety to it. You're either going to get run over or you're not. And that's pretty much what he did in that instance. That's just a part of that.
I slightly disagree with you. I'm like, I understand your point. But at the same time, like you just said earlier, this is a broadcasting thing that we have done, cut and edit. Maybe two other things could have happened. Maybe he was just joking around and, like, you know, pull him back in or whatever. Or my question is, why did they have to show that part of the interview? That was not really part of the interview. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it was 12, and he kicked him out. Why did they have to show that on TV? Why did they didn't edit that part out? Did they have their own agenda or to show the other side of Trump? Like we know already, you know, they don't like to kick people out.
This is what I see. What I see is that when you give a news organization as close to unfettered access as you possibly can and put them on television, because they believe he was supposed to be there for 30 hours in Air Force One, in the presidential limousine, back and forth, certain meetings that they were allowed to have some of the media access to. They want to make sure that you have to understand the president, who has this idea that the media is against him, as he's so many times has called the media the enemy of the people, especially CNN and all of these others, are seemingly the only news organization that he has anything positive to say about is Fox. Outside of all those media outlets, if he's going to do an interview or give access to ABC News, ABC has to be they have to be fair enough to show everything involved as much as they can show. I don't think it's as much as showing.
They love to show the drama.
Part of it, I think part of it as well, because you also, if you just show the positives of everything, you start to look like state media. So
like you said over the phone earlier, what did Donald Trump talk about himself and what he did? In all reality, what did he do? He was bragging about his Air Force One and his new limo that cost more money. Technically speaking, it cost us more money. So what else can the news people do? Show the drama part, right? They try to make it more entertaining, to make him look bad, or to make him look better, or try to show the real side of Donald Trump.
I'm of the mindset that I don't think anybody could try to make the president look bad or good in either way, because as I've said before, he's the type of personality. I think he's the type of personality that doesn't necessarily need to, quote-unquote, depend on the media to make himself look good or bad in either way. Because he's one of those type of people that knows how to sell himself. And he's been doing that for pretty much his entire adult life. So if he is going to do anything, he's going to try to make himself, in the eyes of the people involved, only acknowledge anything positive. And in a lot of people, if you talk to a lot of people that have talked about the president or his behavior, a lot of people think he's delusional in a lot of the things that have happened. Case in point, he had pollsters that have that work for him, and the job of those pollsters is to basically survey the potential voters, because sometime this week the president is supposed to potentially go out and announce his re-election campaign that he's going to try to get into probably tomorrow or Wednesday or whenever. The pollsters are there to go ahead and give information to the president to show you, okay, you're not winning in this city. You're not winning in this state. This demographic you're up on. This demographic you're down on. And apparently the polls leaked that he is losing in a lot of states that he was winning, and some of the ones that he was winning overwhelmingly have dropped in how close they are now. Polls are just that. They're polls. They're still about 18 months to vote. But that gives an idea of how the voters are leaning in certain areas, and you use that information to kind of help yourself. Instead of that being the case, he fired the pollsters. So
yeah, but that's all fake news. You know, anything could happen from now to 2020. Let's be honest. If, like you said, if it's not, if it's all negative, he doesn't want it, he get rid of it.
And exactly, and he basically acted as if it didn't exist. But the thing is, it does exist. And I would have been of the mindset that, okay, I'll take this negative and turn it into a positive. The one thing that the president usually does is that he can take any negative, salacious, anything that gets to him and flip it around and use a Jedi mind trick, so seemingly, and make it work for him. And he could use that. And basically what he did was he fired the pollsters, and then during the interview basically said, well, those that news doesn't exist. It didn't happen. It's something that didn't happen. So there is one of those things that the president has shown you as they peer a little bit into the I would say the madness of being in that administration or around his people for a certain amount of time to see what kind of what you have to go through to try and pierce through all of the force fields that are around him.
Well, okay. And funny, talk about cars and everything. 25 years ago today, history was made around 1 o'clock when some people were supposed to be in school, not me, was watching All My Children, the soap opera, and breaking news came on from L.A. of a white Bronco speeding on a highway. And who was in that white Bronco? O.J. Simpson, running away from the cops. It was one of the biggest high-speed chases in American history, the modern American history. And I can't believe it had been 25 years ago today was for the famous O.J. Simpson highway police chase.
Yes.
Now, do you recall that moment?
I recall it like it was yesterday, because I remember earlier in the day they had stated on the news that something had happened to O.J. Simpson's wife and a friend, and something had happened, and I was like, okay, something's going on. Later on that night, and the reason why I remember this, being a sports fan that I am, this happened during Game 5 of the 1994 NBA Finals between the Knicks and the Rockets. Watching Game 5 at the Garden, and in the middle of the game, NBC, which had was showing the game, broke into the game, like in the third quarter or in the second quarter, and showed a piece of the Bronco and a picture-in-picture on the screen and superimposed it while O.J. was in the car driving through Los Angeles and going through California. I was like, what the heck is going on here? So It's amazing. We were in college at the time that this happened. To see this kind of craziness happen.
No, college or high school?
Yes, because this was in 1994. So I remember.
High school, you idiot.
Well, hey, look. Like you just said, it was 25 years ago. So it's insane.
Well, and the reason why go ahead.
Well, like I said, I remember watching that and wondering in my mind, what the heck is going on? And seeing that, knowing the possibilities of things that could happen, oh, man, that was crazy.
And
by the way, yes, I was in college, so there. Maybe you weren't, but I know I was.
Maybe my senior year of high school. Then again, I forgot. You're older than me by 10 years, so you're right. You was in college.
Bite your tongue.
But besides that. But besides that, reason why I'm bringing this topic up is related to a guy who played O.J. on a TV series, O.J. vs. the People, Cuba Gooding Jr. Best known in his Jerry Maguire movie, playing the football player with a quote, "Show me the money." Well, sooner or later, he needs to show the people the money because there's an incident having a nightclub involving Cuba Gooding Jr. and another, I guess I would say, relations to the Me Too movement, another sexual misconduct. But I'd like to say this is a twist. Sean, quickly, what happened in that nightclub?
Well, from what was explained through the press, Cuba Gooding Jr. was actually at a rooftop bar. It was a rooftop bar, I believe, and was there with, I believe, was his wife, and another female had walked up or sat next to them. Obviously, everybody was drinking. It was late night. And the woman is accusing Cuba Gooding Jr. of groping her breast at the club. He's coming to the contention that it didn't happen. It was made up. Nothing happened. He would initially turn himself into the police, is what he said he would do, so that he could clear his name. And then she changed his mind and said he would only show up if some conditions were met. In any event, he did turn himself in. He did the perp walk, the hands behind the back in the handcuffs. And
the
video
sad,
is actually it's something that in this climate today, nobody knows what to believe anymore until you have video proof. And there was video that was shown on the news literally a couple of days after the arrest. And it appeared as though he was sitting, I don't know if that was his wife he was sitting with or at the time, and then the woman sat down with them, they started talking. I saw his hand on her, I think it was her knee or her thigh.
Or leg. Something like that.
Yeah. I didn't see in the video him touching her chest at any point. Maybe that's the way that it was edited for the news. Maybe they didn't show it, or maybe I just hadn't seen it.
I watched the video three times today from TMZ. Ain't no TMZ is legit.
Yes.
And this is the way I'm saying it, and I will get to you, K-Dog, in a couple of minutes. You're right. Cuban did put his hand on the leg. And the wife or girlfriend, true. But there was too many people around for you to notice if he put his hand on the breast or not. Do we know what happened? No. Will we ever know what truly happened? Don't be surprised, no. But when Sean and I talked about this last week, the thing that got us right away is because, like you said, because of everything that's happening right now, people are jumping to conclusions. So when we first heard about it, it's like, hold on. Let's not jump to conclusion now. Let's just wait to see some evidence or some proof because we don't know what really happened. Once again, I don't care what anybody tell me. Elements of drinking, alcohol, or drugs in a club, something's going to happen. You know, whether it's dancing or sitting out, there could be mixed signals. And we talk about mixed signals all the time between partners and a man and a woman, especially in a club. Back then, Kato would tell you, when you go to the club, you're looking for some type of action. You're looking for entertainment, fun. So Cuban Hunt was he was intoxicated. Maybe he was not in his right frame of mind. Who knows? I'm not making excuses for him in general, even though it may seem that way. But let's be honest. If a woman sat down to talk to another celebrity next to his woman, isn't that poor judgment on her part as well? Keyword, as well. K-Dog?
Well, first up, I want to say what's up. Hey, how you guys doing this evening? Let me just say about the whole Cuba Gooding case is that, like you said, Hot Rod, I mean, listen, inside of a club, especially when you're in an alcohol-induced environment, anything can happen, you know? And I saw the video, too. I mean, can I say what I can make of it? No, because I just saw him, you know, with his hand on the woman's leg, and I didn't see anything else that was going on, to be honest. But
okay,
once again.
So, K-Dog, when you see, if you remember from the video, the Cuban placed his hand on the lady's, lady's leg. Did she flinch? Did she push the hand
no,
to the thigh?
She didn't look like she flinched. She didn't look like she flinched. But who knows what else happened that the video doesn't, you know, who else knows what happened next? That remains to be seen.
But
you know,
to argue against that, Sean,
right.
Do you think if you don't feel comfortable, someone touch you right away, we would like gently, lightly move their hand or say no thank you or say something right away if you're not comfortable?
That's usually what happens. I've seen with my own eyes people sit down, the people that don't look like they even know each other, and they strike up a conversation. Somebody tells a joke, somebody says something, and they put their hand on the other person's knee as
they move it.
Almost as if it's like a comforting, inviting gesture. If that person is not comfortable with it, usually what I've seen is somebody take their hand and move it to the side politely,
right.
And that's usually the end of it.
Or even I could add even more, Sean. Sometimes they'll move away from the person, like you know, wow, this person's making me uncomfortable. You understand?
Exactly.
They'll just like move the hand, and then after they'll keep it moving. They'll just get up and walk away from it.
Now this is also not to indemnify anybody that felt that the woman involved deserved whatever she's alleging happened. This
right.
is also not to say that what she is alleging is something that she quote unquote deserved or whatever is the case, whether everybody's drinking or not. The bottom
mm-hmm.
line in this is now in this climate that we're in, you have to be more careful when it comes to
yes.
how you are interacting with anybody. Whether it's same sex, opposite sex, wherever it is, especially like
true.
You said, K-Dog, when people are drinking,
yeah.
because you don't
mm-hmm.
know.
True, but once
you,
again, but Sean, you don't drink, so when you're drinking, your coordination, your mood, your mind frame change differently and it let you down. I'm not saying, you know, you blame alcohol 100%, but it's completely different when you're drinking. You know, I'm an expert on that.
You know what it is? You know what it is, too? It's like I said, especially being in a club or any type of place where there's a alcoholic environment. I mean, I've seen people let it loose over there. I mean, they just go crazy. I mean, the flirting or sometimes they're, you know, I've seen people even make out in bars. With people they barely know. I'm like, man, what the hell is going on here? You don't even know that person, and you're already making out with the person? What's going on?
Yeah, but like I said earlier, let's be honest. Why a woman would go to another couple, if you just sit there to say hi to Cuban, take a picture
mm-hmm.
with them, you keep on moving. We sat down
right.
talking to them. So what was the lady's intention? So I'm just playing both sides. Of the story, you know. The man was to sit down, get his drunk on, while the lady just came out to sit. Now, of course, Cuban, let's be honest, he's a friendly guy. He probably likes to touch females a lot. Maybe he's a womanizer. Who knows, you know?
mm-hmm.
It's the chances that you take. But like I told Sean last week, and like you said earlier, you have to be careful, especially with
you do.
Everything that's going on right now. You have to be
because,
careful what you do and who you say and who you say it to.
And also,
you know?
And also another thing too that people tend to forget. There's a camera everywhere. And no matter what you say, oh, she came out. Remember, there's a camera everywhere. They're watching your move. So by you, you know, you have to be respectful, and you have to also carry yourself with respect. Even, I mean, I understand, okay, if you have a couple of drinks, but still, have enough sense to, you know, take a walk outside, man, I need some fresh air, man. I've been drinking too much, or, you know. It all comes down to this. You've got to be very careful of what you're doing. Be very
okay.
careful of that.
So, Kato, let's say he did touch her breast, you know, do you believe
mm-hmm.
he should be arrested and file criminal charges against him?
And he touched her breast without her even, with, and it wasn't consensual. Yeah, he should. He should be, you know, that's an arrest. But what bugged me out about the whole thing with Cuba Gooding is that he's like, oh, there's going to be justice. I'm like, bruh, you really don't understand what you're talking about. All right? This right here, you know, you may take it lightly, but it could be a serious matter here. You understand? It could be a very serious matter.
And Sean, will you be surprised? That's what state of argument. That Cuba Gooding Jr., will face heavy penalty compared to Harvey Weinstein?
I somehow don't think so. And the only reason why I say that is because although I've heard other celebrities say that Cuba Gooding Jr. is kind of like a party animal, I haven't heard anything to suggest, even though, like I said, I don't know him from a can of paint personally, that he has... womanizing, he's done things like this that he's being alleged.
Oh, Sean,
mm-hmm.
you need to do some more research. There's another woman that came up recently and talked
yes,
about
yeah.
it.
I hear about that, yes.
It happened while she was 15 years old, as she claims.
Mm.
15,
yeah.
where he stick two fingers up her rectum area up in the club. The reason why she didn't say anything at that time, she said, because she was 16, you know, of course, you know, 16 don't belong
in the
club.
She's not supposed to be in a club if that's where they met.
Exactly.
Yes. Does he know that she was 16? Maybe not. But did he violate her property? Most likely so. But once again, who knows? But like you said, Sean, back then, when people tell you these stories, it was denial. You know, like, oh, Sean would never do that. High Rod would never do that. Now when there's a story, you jump to the other side right away. Oh, Sean did it. Hot Rod did it. Wait, what way? No one do not want to listen to both sides or try to investigate for the most part. People quit to make judgment right away because people are scared. Especially companies are scared.
Yeah.
What? Sean Black say what? Oh, get rid of him.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, when you hear about, especially celebrities, and we know how it's usually perceived through the media, depending on the color of someone's skin, the,
mm-hmm.
the way accusations are brought out, we know how it's treated by the media, and we also know the perceived urgency in trying to get a conviction through the eyes of social media, through public pressure to get something going so that people have their quote-unquote pound of flesh. If
mm-hmm.
it is warranted, and we know more information, like you said before, about the incident that happened in the past. I think that happened, that was alleged to have happened like 11 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I hadn't heard anything else about him as far. I mean, I've heard him, like he's gotten into trouble here for being drunk. I had not heard about. So I haven't
but most
heard.
Likely.
Yeah.
No, I think most likely. I know this is going to piss a lot of people off, and you know a lot of people may attack me for saying this. I don't think he should go to jail. I'm not saying what he did is, you know, not a bad thing, but if you grope a woman, he should face charges or community service or misconduct, whatever. But jail time, no, because you know what? There's other people who are done far worse crimes, a far worse incident and rape.
Definitely.
To walk away. You know, if he broke with a woman, allegedly, and there was no other incident that happened after that, but you see everybody walked away, you know what? It was an isolated incident. Let him pay the time. Do, like I said, do community service or do spy or get some type of counseling, and let's move on, unless it happened again. But that doesn't mean if people don't see it that way or he needs to go to jail, you know what? It's not that serious. I think there's more to the story. Like I said earlier, we may never know.
Good point.
He
shouldn't go to jail. He shouldn't.
No, but Sean voted me all the time. I'm not going to put him into jail because that ain't the way.
Oh, Lord. But in all seriousness, though, if there's something that has actually happened where what she is claiming and alleging happened and there's proof to prove that and everything has been done in the legally to be able to go through the steps and do their investigation and make sure that that's the case, he deserves to have something happen, whether it's, I don't know, days in jail, fine, whatever is the case. Because irregardless of whatever is the case, and no matter what the situation is, if you're imbibed in liquor and you've been to a place, when somebody is an unwanted touch, that's where it crossed. Mm-hmm. The line has been crossed. There's no going back, irregardless. No matter how, it was only one touch or was it, there's no in between on that.
Yeah, but like we discussed earlier, I think the problem I have, another problem I have with this, is mixed signals. And like I told Sean last week, Keanu Reeves, the internet went crazy over Keanu Reeves because he takes pictures with celebrities, you know, with fans or whatever. But you know, in the pictures, he's not touching anyone, especially the females. And so, of course, the internet went crazy, like, why is Keanu not, like, putting an arm around his fans or whatever? Is he afraid of the Me Too movement? Is he afraid he might get charges against him? And we did talk about this in the past, how this type of movement will make men think differently. Is Keanu wrong? Is Keanu Reeves wrong, trying to protect himself overall by not touching anyone?
Well, remember, we talked about this with the Joe Biden things were going on, where after all of these instances where he showed to be a little, quote-unquote, too hands-on with females, and it wasn't like he was assaulting anybody, but they felt uncomfortable. We're seeing, because of the way that the climate is and how women now are letting people know that, one, I'm going to be heard. If I feel uncomfortable, respect what I'm saying. Number two, if things have happened, they're not being summarily dismissed so quick. So in this climate now where we're in today, Keanu Reeves is probably in his mindset kind of like in self-preservation mode to prevent anyone from being uncomfortable and protecting himself at the same time.
Exactly. Because you know what, especially now with what's going on, you have to be very careful on how you conduct yourself. Even, you know, like, for example, in the workplace, I even learned this, is that they said there's certain ways that you got to act. And it's not just the physical, but it's also verbal. Like, you can't even look at a female coworker and say, "Wow, that's a nice outfit you have on." You know, and you have to be careful of that. Exactly.
You say that. So, but once again, for some ladies that look for attention, and when you have a gentleman that give you attention and say something nice, like K-Rock said, that's a problem now? After all these years? So what do you say? It's like, damn, you say something, damn, we don't. But if Kato doesn't say anything, like my little glove today, he's an a-hole for not saying anything, for not giving me a compliment.
The best way that you could do is stay silent, and don't even look the person's way. That's one thing that I learned, And they even have seminars about
that. In that case, Kato, you're going to be single for the rest of your life. But you're afraid to make a move. That's what it seems
no,
like.
No, but in the work environment, you have to be very careful.
Well, whether it's work or in the club or anywhere, like, damn if you do, damn if you don't make any moves. So you tell me, if I go to a club right now, have a good time, I'm dancing with a woman, and I touch her or grind on her, is that sexual harassment? That's groping?
And the crazy part about that is, in many times, people going to the clubs, that's one of the main reasons why they go, is mostly either they're looking to socialize, they're looking to find a date, have a good time, maybe dance with a female, dance with a male, maybe get a phone number, maybe have an interlude later. That's what people, when they go to the clubs, they do. And there are people that go to the club just to be around it and not want to be bothered by other people. So that is
that's
also
true.
There.
Okay, but you're the female, I'll come up to you to dance. You don't want to dance? The guy keep on walking, right? But what happens if you do end up dancing? Do the guy have to be careful? Like, listen, I can't get too close to him because God forbid I get charges against me?
And that's what's hard and difficult about this time period now. Because now, as I've said many times before,
she thinks she's flirting with you, and she thinks you probably think that she wants you to a certain way. I'm not saying going overboard, like taking her home and, you know, do your thing. But like Kato said earlier, and I'm making out. If y'all two are making out, is that a signal that way that maybe she won't go to the next step? So, you put your hand on her butt or something, and then you know that's a no-no? I'm sorry.
Males and females have to relearn how to interact with each other now. We've been males and females, and now males and males and females have been going through a lot of this stuff since the beginning of time, trying to figure out how to communicate, how do I show that I like this person, how do I not come on too strong, how do I show I'm not too weak, et cetera, et cetera. So dealing with that is hard enough as it is. Now dealing with the fact that if I do this, is it going to be looked at as, am I going too far? Is it? You just have to, in the back of your mind, know if this is something that you're going to do. If you do an action that you know your parents would not approve of, that should kind of be a guideline for how you would act if you were in a public situation at a club or something along those lines.
Once again, damn if you do, damn if you don't, is a 50-50 chance. That's the bottom line. But we got 15 minutes left. Last topic, a sad topic, happening in Phoenix, Arizona. Quickly, Sean, take it away.
Okay, Phoenix, Arizona happened May 27th or 28th, one of those days. There was an incident with a Phoenix police. Yeah. Phoenix police have enough issues as is. This one makes it worse. A family was pulled over with guns drawn in a parking lot because there was a tip from a dollar store that a Barbie doll, a 99-cent Barbie doll and allegedly some underwear, was stolen from a dollar store. Instead of actually going to see what happened, et cetera, and figuring out how to de-escalate a situation and make sure the situation doesn't get any worse than it could possibly be, these police officers decided to pull up on these people that were in the car, which was I believe a married couple or they were dating. They have three kids in the car. The woman who was a passenger in the car is pregnant and holding her 1-year-old daughter, I believe, with her. And the accusation was that the 4-year-old daughter that was with them stole a 99-cent Barbie doll. You think that listening to that ideology that the situation would be different? No. Cops surround the car. They're shouting expletives left and right. Guns drawn. Somebody potentially could have been killed. Yelling at the mother that's in the car, yelling at her, telling her, you know what, I'll pop a cap in you. You want to get shot, you want to get effing shot, et cetera, et cetera. So we know that that's placed there. They're finally taken out of the car. The male has his hands against the car, and the cop kicks the male in the leg to get him to, quote-unquote, comply. They finally get the handcuffs on him and arrest him. Now, here's the crazy thing. The dollar store, they didn't press charges. They didn't press any charges on what happened, probably because they saw or heard about what happened as far as the resulting recording of this. And to the extent, one woman that was in a, I guess was in a hotel or an apartment in the parking lot, actually said, while you're going with the police, I'll take your children and I'll look after them until you get back, which is something that she did. So there were two recordings of this whole situation going down. Now, with all of this stuff that has gone along, the people that were there, name is Trevon Ames and Aisha Harper, they are actually suing the Phoenix Police Department for $10 million to the extent that the mayor of Phoenix had a press conference and this is inappropriate and it's unprofessional, and then the police chief is basically saying this is not how the cops react, et cetera, et cetera. You, me, K-Dog, all three of us know what the underlying issue is, and this continues to happen on a regular basis.
Again and again, it keeps happening. Again and again, it's not stopping, you know. It's not stopping anytime. You know, how many times do we have to hear things like this?
I'm sorry. I'm going to be the A on this. I'm like, it's a very sad situation, but it's like, it's not surprising. The only surprising part about the story is no one got killed. Thank God.
And that's the scary part of what you just said. That's the scariest comment that anybody can make, is that you're not surprised. I'm not surprised. K-Dog is not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
The surprise is that no one was killed in this thing.
What makes it worse? And that is that children are there, you know, children are there, and that is very, you know, how many times have we seen these things happen, you know, especially to the likes of us, time and time again, you know, the guns are drawn, we're unarmed, but yet the guns are drawn. Oh, well, I was in a very dangerous situation. That's the first thing that the police officer will say. Oh, it was a very dangerous situation, and that I had to use excessive force. I'm like, excessive force on
that's how they're trained now, to be honest.
Exactly.
Like Sean told me earlier, this is Trump's America. This is how they're trained now. And the reason why I'm saying I'm being an a-hole about this, not like I'm not surprised, it's like we're draining. We drain from talking about this topic over and over. This is ongoing, and it will not go away. And I think what probably saved those parents, to be honest, is maybe the children. Let's take the kids out of the equation. They've probably been shot. The father would probably been shot by now. Let's think about
exactly, that. Exactly, right in front of the child.
Because, like Sean said, the guy at the cop had his gun drawn at the mother, saying, raise your hand, put your hands up. Well, she couldn't, but she's yelling, I have the baby in my arm. I cannot put my hands up. So, as a cop, you want the mother to drop a child to the floor to put your hands up?
And it's not like she can get on the floor herself because she herself is pregnant.
It's pregnant, right. She can't get on the floor.
These are the kinds of things that people that say that there isn't a twinge of racism when we talk about these instances.
Of course, systematic racism, and it exists.
They don't see this kind of thing because in a lot of instances, if you can't identify with you, literally regardless of the fact, oh, I've never done anything criminal in my life, and you are – you are white, you are of a certain racial, religious background, etc. You don't identify with having that happen. But when you see it just on a human level, and these kinds of things happen on a regular, we've done numerous topics about these kinds of things on this show, and there seems to be the overwhelming pattern of minority, whether they're young, whether they are quote-unquote looked at as big, hulking people, whatever is the argument, there seems to be a power dynamic with the police that are in the situation. They assess it the wrong way, and instead of de-escalating the situation, they amp it up. And then they come in with this John Wayne mentality of, you're going to get shot if you don't do what I say, and et cetera, and cursing, not even looking at the fact that there are children in the car. Forget about that. That's
I'll even add more to it. And you know what's the sad part about it, too? Sometimes the person has both hands up, and they still get shot anyway. And
once
again,
we hear
about the, oh, well, the case happened. Oh, well, the police have found not guilty. I'm like, listen, police officers need to be held responsible for their actions regardless. And this right here,
again,
in front of children, that's even worse. Yeah.
Once again, you're right. The cops all should be held for their actions. But we know, this is the same old story. We know the results.
Over and over again.
They're going to walk away and on to the next story. On to next week when we talk about the topic again. And when Sean brings this up to me, I'm going to press their mouth. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like I'm sick and tired talking about it. It's like, we talk about the same problem over and over. But us as a people, this is why I wish I had Brother B right now, because I know he would be furious about it. We as a people are not doing much about it, but the usual cry and cry over again.
And then
it's
the
like,
next day's business as usual.
And when the tragedy does happen, what do you always hear from the people in power that could do something to change it? Thoughts and prayers.
Let's think about what happened.
Let's pray for the victims, et cetera, et cetera. Instead of actually getting programs involved to make sure that police officers are better trained in that sense, they have better relations with other races, because the majority of the time that you see these kinds of instances, and I'm not saying this happens in all of them, but the majority of the ones that we see on TV, you see African-American, Hispanic, you see a minority, and the police officers that are involved are usually never of the same ethnicity of the people that they are actually trying to take and control.
True, but at the same time, Sean, here we are, we sound like a bunch of hypocrites ourselves, where we try and tell people not all cops are bad, or, you know, there's some good
And they
cops.
Are. Not all
but
cops
it's
are
true.
Bad.
It's true.
Yeah, that's
but
true. You have to play devil's advocate.
Focus.
You know, I mean, I'll say this. Yeah, I know a couple of friends of mine who are police officers. I'm not going to say all of them are out to get us. I'm like, I can't say that. Because at the same time,
I focus on the negative.
You need, unfortunately, let me play devil's advocate. You do need the police officers. Let's face it.
Yes,
we
do. But how can you ease the tension between police officers and the black community or the minority? Like, this past weekend, when my kids see the cops, they say hello to the police. And you know, I make sure they say hello. You know, I'm trying to do my part to build that relationship. But, you know, the kids, they don't know what's going on. While me, Sean, can you go say hi to the cop? Nope, I don't want to get shot. You know, that's the first thing that will come out of your mouth. Let's be honest. You know?
And you're taught as children that the safest people to go to when you're in trouble are the police. But
yeah,
as
the
you,
police officers
as you get
are your friends.
And I still, to this day, if I have to, I would hope if something happens to me, I can call a police officer or go to a police officer and let them know X, Y, and Z happened. I need your help. The problem is there are so many things that happen that I know a lot of people. I know personally of a lot of people that are afraid to even tell a police officer that they need help because they're afraid something will happen. And these are the kinds of things that always are brought up in the African-American community and in the Hispanic community, because there is a legitimate fear that something like this is going to happen.
But at the same time, I believe the store, the people that called the cops, it was probably just doing their protocol, they're doing their job, they called the police on the shoplifter. But we really don't know what happened overall. But do they see that going to that extent of guns being drawn and everything? Probably not.
That was unnecessary. The guns were unnecessary.
What happened was the people at the store, what happened was the white woman who called the cop? Funny, no one did not mention that part, right?
Yeah. Or the fact that the manager of this particular store, where it might not have even been the manager that made the call, it could have been somebody else that was there. The manager can now, nobody can find him. The manager of that particular store cannot be found for interviews or anything else. He or she is laying low. So, who knows?
Because it's over. It's over. Quit the job is over because you just put five people in jeopardy of losing their lives.
Especially a child was involved.
A split second is all it could have taken to have turned this particular cautionary tale into another tragedy that we would be talking about. Because we just had a shooting. We had been talking about guns and all the other stuff. There was a shooting just not that long ago at a courthouse that we talked about. It was a week or so ago. There was a shooting. There was, a school shooting or another shooting. We have shootings every other day in this country. So could have been another tragedy involved.
Today in Toronto, when the Toronto Raptors are celebrating in the parade, there was two people that got shot there. A
ticket
parade.
Yeah, right. Right.
You never heard anything like that before. Now,
exactly.
That is insane. But I'm sorry. I just don't know what to say about this topic anymore. You know.
And you know the thing is, and it's not like I like talking about this or how I talk about this all the time. We don't like to bring any of this stuff up, and if we could, we wouldn't talk about this topics like this. But it's the fact that it's not only is it newsworthy, it has to be brought up to see if somebody is going to actually bring attention to this. And at the same time, we also don't want to diminish other things that are in the news that have not been taken care of. As we always talk about, Flint, Michigan still has no drinking water. They have the team that's been going on how I believe – the people that were involved that were supposed to be on criminally in charge of this whole thing, the charges were dropped. So now they're going to have to start the investigations from scratch with all of the stuff that's been going on in Flint, Michigan. These are the kinds of things that we want to keep bringing up so that you know what the heck is going on in the country.
And quickly, Kato,
last
topic. Wendy Williams is dating a new guy in her life. She's Wendy Williams. She's like 52, 53 years old. Her new boyfriend is like 27. Well, he has a past of being an ex-convict. Now, do you see dating an ex-convict a problem? And do you think he's being a freeloader off of Wendy Williams? Basically, bottom line is, Wendy Williams came from a toxic relationship for many years. It seems like she's heading back to another toxic relationship, it seems like, over a younger guy. What's your thoughts? 2 minutes left.
You know, my thoughts on it, and I'm going to be quick about it. Listen, these young dudes these days, the one thing they look for is, how could I say it, a sugar mama. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to keep it real. You know, you see Wendy Williams. I mean, look at Wendy Williams. I mean, seriously, man, listen, look, not for nothing. That woman is hideous. She's hideous and she's ugly. Why would I want to date that for? But that's another thing. However, that's freeloading, man. I sense a freeloader with that. I could smell a freeloader, bro. You freeloading, man. What are you doing?
Quickly, Sean. A minute left.
I personally don't see how this, whoever she dates, ain't got nothing to do with you or me or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants to date the president of Cuba, if that's what floats her boat, so be it. My thought process is she lives her life so publicly that most people see her, she's dating so-and-so. After the stuff that she has publicly let out about her marriage, if that's who she is attracted to and wants to date, so be it. If that's what makes her happy, as the expression goes, if you like it, I love it.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead
she's
with your
old, I think she's old enough to know what she to some degree what she wants. If he's in, if that's a relationship, or if it's just a booty call, if that's the case, that's her choice. So be it.
Exactly.
I believe it's booty call, but I still smell overall a toxic relationship. Like basically, I believe she cannot get out of that phase of a toxic relationship. If she's looking for a young bud to spend money on and get her grind on, no problem. But she's looking for something serious. I'm sorry, a young guy like that with no great potential so far, I doubt it. Unless she's living under his wing. And on that note, Sean Black, K Dog, and the Hot Rod. Of course, I have to thank myself first. Guys, thank you so much for another crazy good show tonight. What? I'm the main event.
Man.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Hey, Lady
God
P,
bless.
Shout out to you, Lady
Be
P.
Be safe. Oh yeah, Lady P. I know she's cursing me out right now. I want to say, what about Wendy Williams? Wait till I get him on the phone next time. Wait.
Good.
Good night, everyone, and As always, the
peace
pleasure
out.
Was all mine.
All yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy yourselves, people.